Spider-Man, Spider-Man spins a web any size. There's so many, I can't decide. Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man. Hey, everybody. Yep, we're talking about all the Spider-Man movies here today on Two Geeks and a Microphone.
Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, it is Mr. Steven Buster, me, your co-host here today on Two Geeks and Microphone, along with the one, the only, the most illustrious, the most coolificaristic dude. I tried to put a whole words together there for you, everybody. Mr. Michael Shanks. Mike, say hey to everybody.
Good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land.
And then we also have, once again, back from the dead, Mr. Theron, too cool, Lowry. Theron, say hey to everybody.
Hey, listeners. Hey, visual people who likes to watch everything on the screen, and phones and tablets and all that stuff like that. I see you. I see you very well.
I didn't know you died, Theron.
And then we also have the wonderific Miss Megan, who's sporting new hair color today. Megan, how are you? Say hey to everybody.
Hello, I'm good.
I was going to say, she got new hair?
New hair color. I almost said new hair color.
I want new hair.
Well, you try hot pink next time and see how you like it.
No, thank you. I did orange in my beard last October. I'm not doing it again. Yeah. Once was enough.
You're supposed to use the spray on stuff, Mike, not the real dye.
Oh, I bought some dye from Amazon. It worked out really well, and then it was hard to come out. And then eventually,
you got it from Timu or Shein.
No, I ain't buying that Chinese crap.
All right.
So everybody, just so you know, Megan is doing a new podcast along with our own show favorite, Angie, and they have two, how do you say it? I can't.
Geek Girls. It's Geek Girls Podcast.
It's Geek Girls Podcast. See, I want to put the two in front of it because I'm so used to putting two in front of geeks, but Geek Girls Podcast kind of thing. So
that's because they're a spinoff of our show. That's why you want to do that.
That's probably so.
They're a sister spinoff.
Yeah.
A sister podcast. Well, technically, in this case, it's a daughter one.
Well, sure. Point taken.
Right off. Oh, excuse me. Where'd that come from? I have already started drinking, everybody. Good morning. To make this day much more betterer.
Much more better.
Well, hey, everybody. We are talking. Oh, what'd you say, Megan? I'm sorry.
I was just saying, Steve and I are supporting the energy drinks.
That's right. I'm an energy drink guy.
You got Rockstar. Megan's got Monster, though.
Monster.
I'm just drinking iced coffee, so good right stuff.
And I got a protein shake, so you know.
There you go.
Somebody has to be the healthy, conscious one in this group.
Right. Well, I'm glad one of us are. I need to start walking more. I can tell you that.
Don't we all?
Why walk when you can web sling?
No,
nicely done, Theron. Everybody, Theron gets a point today for bringing us back around, being the geek wrangler. Thank you so much, Theron.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I think I'd kill myself if I went swinging around on webs like Spider-Man does. I don't think I can do that.
You just get the web assist like they do in Spider-Man on the PS5. Don't go full realistic mode.
That's exactly how to do it. That's right.
I'd be a little more like George of the Jungle and just slamming into things all over the place.
That's good. For those that may not remember George of the Jungle, because we're old farts.
George of the Jungle. strong as he can be.
Look at isn't that the ripoff of Tarzan?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Goofy version of Tarzan.
The parody.
I love George.
Pretty good jungle. Word making.
Yeah, good parody word. Is a great word.
Ooh, that's a $5
yes.
word.
Especially since Weird Al has a song for it.
Speaking of parodies, so last week, Darren came up with a great idea, and I did turn it into a meme. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did. I always do. Yeah, I do that all the time.
I don't even know what he meant.
I did turn it into kind of a meme.
Hey, Sam.
Let's see if I can present this real quick. Share screen. There we go. And bam! Everyone was kung fu fighting.
Oh, yeah, I did say that, didn't I?
I saw that. I love that.
I would love to put it on a t-shirt. And I've been looking into it. I've been looking at the possibility. Kong kinda sorta is in public domain because it was a novel before the movie in 1933. However, Kong is coming up for public domain though. The movie one is.
Mm-hmm.
But since it was in a novel, technically the character is already in public domain. Mm-hmm. That's how there was another cartoon that was made of it that wasn't Warner Brothers, I believe. Another company was able to make it because it's technically in. So I think we might be able to get away with it. I might throw it up on a t-shirt and just see if we can do it. Of course, then I could get kicked off a fourth wall. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But
do it for the NTIF or whatever they call those things. One of those, you know, just make it, you know, a little bit different colors, texture, tone, and all that stuff like that, and sell it as like, you know, one of them. Those.
Well, I mean, technically, the ape is just an ape. It's not really Kong per se, but
okay,
it is what it is. So, all right, we do have one geeky news item, so I think we'll move into the geeky news, and then we'll swing into Spider-Man.
Sweet.
All right, so for the geeky news today, I just saw this morning. One of our former guests, Mr. John Jackson Miller, announced that he is releasing a book, and his book is none other than a sequel to the 1989 Batman entitled Batman Resurrection. Yes, John Jackson Miller has penned a novel, a Batman novel, and it will be coming out October 15th. It'll be available in hardcover, audio, and ebook format. I don't know who's reading the ebook. I don't know if John does those or not. And he says that it's set in the Burton films, and mm-hmm. he chose to make a direct sequel novel to Batman 1989, meaning characters ranging from Vicki Vale and Alexander Knox to Max Schreck and Selina Kyle. So
they put back the original ones in there.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The original characters. Okay.
So I think what he's saying is this could be like Batman, you know, Batman 1.5 or something, Batman 89 1.5 or something, because it sounds like it will actually be between Batman 89 and Batman Returns, which sounds fantastic to me because y'all know I love Batman 89. So I figured since John Jackson Miller has written it, we've had him on the show before. Mm-hmm. He also penned the Kenobi novel and several
other. You think come back on the show?
We can reach out to him and try. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do an episode.
I would love to have him back on.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, do it as part of his media blitz.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. So I'll reach out to him, see if we can get him back. That would be fantastic. I didn't know that he was as big a 89 Batman fan as he is, but apparently he's a huge one. So, and to have somebody as talented as John is, I love his novel Kenobi. I think it's a fantastic novel, and I'm sure this Batman novel will be just as good. So looking forward to it.
Right on.
All right. That's all I got for the geeky news.
Kenobi show?
What's that?
They did the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, right?
No, he did the novel. Okay. There was a novel that came out a long time before the show was ever released.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of had him on to, well, I really wanted to talk to him about Kenobi, but we kind of talked about everything around Kenobi.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's all good. I mean, John's written a lot of stuff. Yeah, he was a good guest. We had fun with him. He's a nice guy. Yeah. So, all right, let's swing on into Spider-Man, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yes.
It's time for the main event. All right, everybody. I'm going to lay some ground rules here just because Mike showed us before the show all of his notes, and it's overwhelmingly awesome. Just saying. Holy cow. So we've got a lot to cover. And so, Mike, how would you like to approach this journey into the Spider-Man cornucopia of movies?
Well, let's start with why we're doing this. So the reason we picked Spider-Man for the topic this week is Spider-Man returns to the theaters Monday, April 15th, this coming Monday. For those of you listening to the podcast, you will be hearing it on the day that Spider-Man is re-released in the theaters. They are going to re-release all eight live action films. So that includes the three Tobey Maguires, the two Andrew Garfields, and the three Tom Holland films. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Did you say the two Tobey Maguire ones?
No, there's three. Well,
no, I said, do we recognize the third one?
Well, they are recognizing the third one.
I couldn't help myself.
That's probably my least favorite of Spider-Man.
I know it is. That's why I threw that in there. I'm sorry, I interrupted though. Keep going.
Anyway, in our theater, which happens to be Marcus Theater in our area, is releasing a Spider-Man movie pass. For $30, you can see all eight films. Granted, I think you have to go on Monday night. No, you did it wrong. It's wow.
Oh, wait a minute. Better yet. Here we go.
Wow. So we figured in honor of the Spider-Man films, we were going to discuss Spider-Man today, and we all happen to be Spider-Man fans. I know Theron is a huge Spider-Man fan, along with myself. I would count Spider-Man as one of my top three favorite Marvel characters of all time.
When I was a kid, it was Spider-Man was one of the comics I collected as a kid.
And I collected the Todd McFarlane run when Todd took over his own Spider-Man title, which was fantastic. Nice. I mean, you cannot top Todd McFarlane's artwork. It's just beautiful. It's
yeah.
And I remember when he was doing, when they would hire him in to just to do one or two shots, you know, for the regular Spider-Man series. And I always heard stories that artists hated following Todd McFarlane because he'd put so much detail in just the webbing alone. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm not doing all that crap.
Right.
His webbing was one of the signature designs for Spider-Man.
Yep.
It's always the rope style, which actually gives it more features versus just the web, you know, that part.
Right.
Actually gives him more of a grip to see actually
he put in so much depth into it and he just make it insane. But Todd McFarlane's known for doing that. I mean, look at every time he does Batman and he does the crazy, insane, huge capes and stuff that no human being would actually ever be able to wear. You know,
or Venom. Right. The way he designed Venom and the way he designed Spine, phenomenal. And
oh, yeah.
I was watching some of his live and how he was doing some of the stuff with Joker, too. Oh, man, that dude, talented, man.
McFarlane's one of my favorites. I can't rave enough. Well, anyway, so we'll jump into Spider-Man. So the first three Spider-Man films are the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man films. And those were all directed by Sam Raimi. Most people know Sam Raimi from the the character with the chainsaw is his hand. I know
Army of Darkness.
What?
Army of Darkness.
Yes, Army of Darkness. He's known for Army of Darkness, and he's known for mostly horror, is what he's known for.
Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Bruce Campbell was the star of those. Well,
which Bruce Campbell joke in the wasn't that some of the joke in the Doctor Strange movie with the whole hand hitting him and stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That was the eye in the water type of deal. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, he has a cameo in each of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans too. And I got to say,
that's right.
Yes. I rewatched most of the Spider-Man movies this week. And so you see Bruce Campbell in Spider-Man. He's the ring announcer when Spider-Man goes into the ring against none other than Macho Man Randy Savage, who in the movie he's known as Bonesaw. just a phenomenal role. I love that. But he's the ring announcer, so Spider-Man's getting ready to come out, and he's got his homemade costume on and everything, and he goes, "What's your name, kid? I'm the Human Spider." That sucks. And then he comes out and he coins Spider-Man, the Amazing he called him the Incredible Spider-Man, because I even commented, "Hey, wait a minute, that's the wrong character. That's the Hulk, not Spider-Man." But I don't know if they knew. Maybe they knew Amazing Spider-Man. They were holding that for something, and they didn't want to call him that in the movie. I don't know.
Maybe. That's a good thought.
So you had him as the ring announcer, and I absolutely love that scene when he gets into the ring with Macho Man, and then they announce that they're going to do the cage, and they bring the cage down on him, and he's like, "Wait a minute, I didn't sign up for a cage match." And the funny thing is, I was watching it with Brenda, and she goes, "Wait a minute, how come Peter Parker's the only one that gets a cage? All these other guys that came in," I go, "because he needs a cage to stick to. Otherwise, he has nothing to stick to."
Yeah,
it's all for story. that's the only reason they put a cage in there. And then you see him up at the top of the cage, and he's like, "Hey, come down here. I got you for 3 minutes." And Spider-Man looks at him and says, that's a cute outfit. Did your husband make it for you?"
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite lines in the movie. But so he's the ring announcer in one. He's the snooty usher in two.
That's right.
So in two, MJ has the part in the play. And Peter's trying to make it to the play, and of course he gets sidetracked by something that happens, and he has to take care of the crime issue, and then he's late for the play, and the usher won't let him in because there's a sign on the door that says once play is begun, no one will be allowed in or out of the.
And he had his ticket and everything. Yep.
Right, and he's making a big deal of it. Won't even let him talk or nothing, you know. So he's the snooty usher in two. Three, I did not watch three this week, so I didn't see the scene. I probably should have looked it up on YouTube. But in three, he's the maitre d' for the restaurant where Peter is going to propose to MJ.
Yeah, right. He was doing that right before. Was it MJ? Hold on a minute. Say that one more time.
When he was going to propose
one more time. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Uno más.
Yeah, he was going to propose to her, and then I think that's when she kind of breaks up with him and all this stuff. And
He was telling him when he was telling him to come to him, and then he was like, "No," and he kept shaking his head, "No, go back." And then that's when he kept like going back and forth. I remember the scene now.
Yeah. So I don't remember that scene too well, only because, like I said, I didn't rewatch three because three is not my favorite Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed in three because
I was excited about 3 because Venom was coming, and Venom is one of my favorite characters. And I was looking forward to Venom finally coming to the Spider-Man universe. Mm-hmm. And then they announced that Topher Grace was going to play Venom, or, you know, mm-hmm. Eddie Brock.
I was like,
yeah,
look like very a football skinny, player. Very
exactly. That
very
was
runny variation of Venom.
Right. Nothing against Topher Grace. He's a great actor. You know, I like him in a lot of things, but I'm like, wait a minute. You're as nerdy as Peter Parker. How are you going to be as bully? And well, I don't
in care. That movie, they kind of like force connections when it came down to how the draw the story. So it was just like they were cool at one point, but then again, he felt like, oh well, he stole my girlfriend, he stole my job, now right. He's my enemy, and that was a little silly. Sandman, his thing was just all over the
place. So see, you
didn't really get a good
Sandman would have been perfect had they not retconned the killing of Uncle Ben in the first film. Because they used Sandman's character and retconned it, saying that Sandman was the actual one that killed Uncle Ben in the first movie. Now, number one, he doesn't look anything like that guy. Mm-hmm. that's issue number one. Number two, I just hate the fact that they retconned it, because they kind of tied up that whole storyline where Spider-Man got him, and Spider-Man did not, you know. He even says it in the Far From Home, whatever the latest one was.
No Way Home.
Thank you. He even says, I got my revenge and it didn't help.
That was the thing that, okay, so can we agree with the first, I'm starting for 2002, the first iteration of the Spider-Man, when that hit, that was like amazing. That was amazing. Okay.
Oh,
second one. I will give the second one out of the three.
That was like the biggest superhero movie since Batman 89.
Yes, exactly right. Yes,
I remember the Batman craze of Batman 89, and it was almost repeated, but it was Spider-Man now. Everybody you saw was wearing Spider-Man T-shirts. You know, in 2002, just like in 89 and 90, everyone was wearing Batman T-shirts everywhere.
Or so, just, 2004 when Iron Man came out, everybody had the Iron Man
mask. Yes.
How big Iron Man was. It was like he made and hit. And also at the same time, too, you can't really just give it too much to Spider-Man in that movie. William Dafoe playing Hobgoblin really sold it. If they had the marketing behind his character and with Spider-Man, that movie would have been, it would have been crazy. But it was still crazy. That was really what gravitated me and say, okay, the first Spider-Man. And also Doc Ock in the second movie was amazing. That one was really more story accurate to me.
Alfred Molina was the actor, right?
Yes, sir.
It was incredible.
Yes, very good villain. Very good villain. Very early villain that we needed for a superhero movie.
My only complaint about Green Goblin was I'm not a big fan of the mech suit. I just didn't like it. Now, I loved what they did with William Dafoe as Green Goblin in No Way Home. He looked fantastic. I was like, this is perfect. This is the way he should have been all along.
Yeah, with the rag and everything. The rag had it up, cape, and he had his flyer. They did kind of put the flyer.
The flyer is fine. I have no issue with
the flyer. It was his design.
Yeah, it was just the suit design. It was just too mech, too military-ish. You know, I didn't care for it. It just didn't feel enough comic book like to me, you know, felt a little too quote unquote real world. And I didn't care for it.
So what you're saying is Green Goblin in No Way Home was much more better.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was still William Dafoe and he was fantastic. He was great.
Well, it's great actor. Yeah.
Yeah. And they did the whole internal, like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type. Yes. Of they really did his character very, very well and justified in the No Way Home iteration.
Well, and they did that in even Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was talking to himself in the mirror. I didn't think him. He kept changing his face. That was one of the most amazing scenes. William Dafoe would be looking straight face, and then they did that mirror scene where he was like real, you know, evil looking. I was like, oh, and that's really good. That sucked me into the movies. I really enjoyed that part.
That
I he's see, such a great actor for villains.
Exactly. Plus, Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire ones.
Okay.
The casting is just amazing. I mean, well, William Dafoe as Green Goblin, he's perfect.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone says today. Everyone thought that Tobey Maguire was perfect for Spider-Man.
Yes.
I still like Kristen Dunst for MJ. I don't care what anyone says. I know they're all.
Oh, she was perfect for that role, man.
I thought she was fantastic. And okay, the other two characters, Aunt May, awesome, just fantastic. Uncle Ben was great too. Don't get me wrong. I love Uncle Ben. But then the one that Bryce looked Aroni? Like, huh?
Bryce Aroni? Uncle Ben? Never mind. Stop.
I love that meme of Spider-Man in the grocery store holding the Uncle Ben's rice.
See, yeah. That was really good.
Although we can't have that anymore because they took Uncle Ben off of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, and then we have to give a shout out for James Jonah Jameson. I mean,
oh yes.
Very oh my yes. gosh.
So that was
weird. He looked like he walked right off the comic book page. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he really stole the point in that one.
Oh my gosh, he was so good. I loved it. And I love the fact that they've carried him on into the new Spider-Man too. And they gave him a new look and took away his hair, but mm-hmm. you know, it just shows that he's an older J. Jonah Jameson.
JJ.
Thank you, Stan Lee, for all your double letter
alliteration.
Peter Parker, James Jonah Jameson. Oh my gosh! And
so
yeah,
let's carry over. Okay, so we got the three in 2002. From the 2002 to the 2007 lineup. As far as that, now you want to segue into the Andy Garfield ones because
Andrew Garfield.
I say Andy Garfield, Andrew Garfield.
Andrew
I think they call him Andy too in the movies, if I'm not mistaken. Andrew. Okay, so
that's the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes, and the Amazing Spider-Man.
Now, so in the first one, his foe in that one was
the Lizard.
Yes, the lizard.
The Lizard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which. That's funny because they did introduced Dr. Connors in Spider-Man 2, but you could tell they were setting him up, but they never used him. They never went.
Because
you had Dr. Connors.
Dr. Connors in the second one.
He's his professor at the college.
Yeah.
When Peter's going to college and all.
Oh.
He's the one that tells Dr. Octavius, he's friends with Dr. Octavius and he sets up the meeting with him and he's the one that tells him that Parker is brilliant but lazy.
Yeah, that lazy was, and then he's always late and he was like, where are you going? Like, yeah, and it was the scene that he stopped him in the outside in the park area.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, that scene. Yeah, so Connors was always there, but he wasn't set up to run the organization like Osborn. A reason why he was actually more reason why he took off in the Amazing Spider-Man is because Osborn was actually because they lost their CEO, William Dafoe's character, and then he took over in his organization making synthesis for reptiles or something like that, cold-blooded.
Right. Animals. Well, he was trying to figure out how to mix lizard DNA with human DNA in order to grow a limb back and so on and so forth because he had lost his arm and everything. Yes. But you do have the Lizard as your main enemy, but then they also brought in Green Goblin because they introduce you towards the end of the film to
Hobgoblin.
Well, no, he's really Green Goblin because okay, what's the Osborne's the dad's name?
It's Norman.
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 Yeah. Norman dies, but Norman passes on all of his information to Harry.
Yeah, Harry Osborn.
Mm-hmm. So you never see Norman take on the Green Goblin costume and everything, but we see Harry take it on full on with the glider, and he looks more like a goblin. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
They didn't give him the mechanized suit like they did in the Tobey Maguire series.
But they did give him the exploding pumpkins, though.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they both had exploding pumpkins, mm-hmm. which, yeah, that's a staple for Green Goblin. You have to have exploding pumpkins. I mean, after all, Green Goblin's kind of Spider-Man's Joker. That's who he really
is. Yeah, that's because he got, with the face, with the grinning face type or dude.
Right. Yep. Yeah. But he was a decent Green Goblin. William Dafoe was much more better.
More better. Cheers, everybody. Night.
Yeah. He sold the character on that one. The thing about
I did like the lizard, though. I thought the lizard was great.
Lizard was good in the first one. What about now? We're going to talk about the second one, though, The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
That one was the number three in Sam Raimi's to me, because you had Electro. You had.
I don't think Sam Raimi directed Amazing.
No, he didn't. I'm just saying, like, it's compared to Spider-Man 3.
Gotcha.
They tried to do with the bringing all these extra characters, because Jamie Foxx played Electro.
Right.
What's his name? Giovanni? I can't think of his name right about now. He played Rhino. Remember, Rhino came in at the very... No, that was...
Yeah.
End of one.
Oh,
Rhino came in at the mechanized Rhino.
Yeah.
That wasn't... Yeah, that was horrible. But you have way too many characters that didn't really fit the role, as far as like they try to sell it too hard. And
the Rhino really doesn't come in until the end of the film, the very end. And actually, I do love the scene where he shows up, because that scene's fantastic, because Spider-Man has disappeared, and the little kid that he protected from the bullies. That little kid he's on the scene, and he's wearing a Spider-Man costume, and he gets up and stands up to the Rhino, and which I thought was fantastic, because he's like, Spider-Man's not here, I'm gonna stand in for him. Right. And then all of a sudden Spider-Man swings in and is like, hey, good job, buddy. I'm glad you're brave and all this. He goes, now, how about you go take care of your mom and I'll take care of this guy.
Yeah, so that dynamics
even
between
the Rhino sucked, that scene was just fantastic. It was a great Spider-Man scene.
So the thing with I can say that the first Amazing Spider-Man with the Andrew Garfield one, that one, not my favorite, but it is like really top two right there, top two or top three, and I get to my favorite in a second. But then again, the I'm gonna say no, that's my top two. My top three will be the second Spider-Man movie from the Sam Raimi one. And I'm going to reveal my top one at the end once we get down to it. But then again, at the same time, I feel like the what do you think about the dynamics before we get down to the Tom Holland ones, about the MJ and the Tobey Maguire one versus the Spider-Man versus the Gwen? Because I really did like Gwen Stacy's mix on it versus the Kirsten Dunst MJ version and within Spider-Man trilogy.
Well, now you had a different feel in their relationships for sure. Mm-hmm. With the MJ and the Tobey Maguire, you had this on off, thing going on, which I know a lot of people really don't like. They complain about it, and they all blame MJ for it. And it's like, and I rewatched one.
They always blame them.
Well, and I'm like, it's not MJ's fault. It's Peter's fault, because he's the one who's being overprotective, and he's like, I can't get into a relationship with her. Oh wait, I want to be in a relationship with her. Oh wait, I don't want to be in a relationship with her.
Yeah.
So she goes off with what's his face? James Jameson's son.
The astronaut.
Right. You can't blame her for that, And I don't get where everyone bitches.
Uh-oh.
About
where's the beep button?
About her. And I'm like, it's not her. It's him. He's the problem here, not her. So
it's a
total different dynamic.
Okay.
With Gwen, Spider-Man gets
feels guilty because of her father and and his promise to her father that he's going to keep her safe. But he is open and honest with her of what is going on with him. Where Peter wasn't open and honest with MJ in the first ones. So I think they're totally different dynamics. And I actually love both relationships. I think both relationships are great. His relationship with Gwen is better.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's one of those things that I do like the dynamics with Spider-Man versus Gwen Stacy versus Spider-Man with Mary Jane. And granted, over time, him and Mary Jane, they keep going, they have that off and on, but then ultimately they got married and all that good stuff. Like,
right.
It's like Peter can, he can get the girl. How does he keep the girl and also try to keep everybody else safe and then try to maintain that with Gwen? Well, we already know ultimately he try his best to keep her safe in that iteration of the story, but they're just not good for each other long term. That's why later on that Gwen and Miles become a couple in the future. But then
Become a couple?
Yeah,
wait a minute. We're talking movies, not comic books.
Miles had two movies too. Granted, they weren't.
I'm gonna roll into that one too.
Okay.
I do wanna
point out, okay, even though I think the relationship between Peter and Gwen is portrayed a little bit better than the relationship between Peter and MJ. Okay. In the live action films,
in the live action
comic book, I still rank Peter and MJ as two of the greatest comic book couples ever. You know, it's them and then Clark and Lois.
Stable couples? They ain't the most stable couple. I ain't gonna lie.
I mean relationship wise and just the way they feel about each other and
I get them, Tiger. They had a lot of memorable moments in there and stuff like that. I do like
we did get the go get them Tiger a couple times.
So eventually they came around at the end of towards the end of the Raimi series, and then they became together. When it went into the Amazing Spider-Man and stuff like that, obviously ultimately Gwen, there were more emotions in there because you've seen the limitation of what Spider-Man can do and he can't do. He can't do too many things at once. He can't save a bus and he can't also save, you know, the girl and try to fight the villain. So that part, I love the dynamics of that because it brings more elements. Like, he's not, I mean, he can be amazing, but he can't also be amazing because he can't do so much when he's faced on against multiple feats and everything that nature.
What you're saying is he's amazing, but he's not superior.
True. If he can get some, that's true. He can't do it all himself.
No comic.
I am going back into the comics there because Superior Spider-Man is actually Doc Ock. Doc Ock takes over Spider-Man's body, but anyway, which I am currently reading, by the way.
Yes. So
great part. Series. Highly recommend that.
The Superior Spider-Man. He's a better because he's. Yeah, I get it. but when you roll into, so that was one because they have more action and also there was some, you can actually see that Spider-Man had his limitations in the Andrew Garfield ones. That's the reason why I like the first one versus the second one, because I didn't really care about his rogue gallery. That was very cheesy on that one.
For Andrew Garfield, you mean? Yeah,
Suffered from the same problem as three? Just too many villains?
Too many villains trying to tell all of their stories, and you got three acts. And it's just like each of them. Okay, in first act you introduce this villain. Second act you introduce how they're all going to coalesce during the third act, and it's going to be wrapped up in 15 minutes. It's beyond me. And then when they do that, it's just like this he isn't.
And when you look at Homecoming though, or not Homecoming. Mm-hmm. When you look at Far From Home. When you look at Far From Home, they did a great job and they had tons of characters in that one. I mean, you had three Spider-Mans and then you had Doc Ock, Green Goblin, The Lizard,
Well, that made sense. Yeah, Electro. Yeah, everybody.
From all the movies
right
before.
Yes. Except for Venom. Venom was the only one.
Yeah. I think the reason. Yeah, well, I think No Way Home having all those villains work because we already had backstory or we already knew where they came from. So we didn't have to go back in time, quote unquote, in order to in order to set up those characters who already knew. And then when each one was introduced, you're like, whoa, goosebumps, you know, kind of a thing. You know, you heard the voice of the Green Goblin and you're like,
And well, his laugh is what was singing. Oh, when you heard that laugh. Oh, it is
go even time. Hearing Doc Ock go, Peter.
Yeah, man.
I love Doc Ock. I think Doc Ock is amazing. All right,
we'll get back to. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump.
No, that's so.
I think the issue of the whole villains, it convoluted the storytelling in the third one, and I agree that it convoluted the storytelling in the Andrew Garfield number two, the second one.
True.
And, now, but I will say they did make it work in No Way Home, and well, I guess we'll get to that in a minute.
Yep, there we go, and then we can segue into the Tom Holland ones right now.
So we got it. If we're talking about Amazing Spider-Man 2, we have to talk about the elephant in the room, which would be Jamie Foxx, because you know a lot of people did not like Jamie Foxx's character in Amazing Spider-Man 2, the Electro.
Really?
He was a big disappointment. Bad. Now, I got to say, I rewatched it this week. I actually liked him better than I remember liking him back when it was released originally. I think I had a second look at him and I'm like, yeah, his character before he becomes Electro is goofy and silly. He's just like the Riddler. Weird. Huh?
It's just like the Riddler. It's like the Val Kilmer version of Batman, how Jim Carrey became the Riddler. He did the exact same thing. He was like really infatuated with his.
You know what? I think I like Jamie Foxx's Electro better than Jim Carrey's Riddler.
Everybody, I'm going to pause here for a second. Join us next week as we do Batman. Movies. And we will pick that part of the conversation up.
I'm rambling us back because
I need to hear more about the whole Jamie Foxx thing, though. Keep going about this, because I guess I didn't realize that it was such a big to-do.
That was one of the big things about Amazing Spider-Man.
His character was just like, he was really infatuated with his job and with eels, with electric eels. And eventually, I believe he was that. I'm a fast forward a little bit. He was really passionate about a project he was working on with electric eels. And then he ended up getting fired, or his project or a program got
Oscorp stole his idea.
They stole his idea,
right?
And then he ended up didn't he end up falling into the vat, or he ended up trying to consume the power of Electro, and then he became more of a that's when he became more evil-esque and villainous after the fact. But he was targeting his anger towards the wrong person.
I think what really turned him over is the scene where he's attacking the city. And Spider-Man shows up, and Spider-Man doesn't know who he is. I think that's what really turns him, because before he was all about Spider-Man. He loved Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He imagined Spider-Man being in his birthday and, you know, all that stuff, which was over the top and goofy.
Agreed. I liked the aspect of his character that was the timid, the shy, transforming into the villain. But I agree that Jamie Foxx did that a goofy, almost irreverent way to people who are like that, if that makes sense. People who are timid and shy and get infatuated with things and stuff. He did overact that. Now, I did enjoy the aspect of, I thought he did great as the villain, and I really enjoyed him when we came into No Way Home.
No Way Home, he even looked a little bit more like Electro.
More Electro. Yeah, definitely more Electro in that version versus him just being like Dr. Manhattan is when he was in. That was the
He had clothes on. Dr. Manhattan doesn't wear anything.
He wore a little bib or a little, you know, maple leaf or whatever.
Not in the movie.
Not in the movie. And if you saw it in 3D, then that junk was hanging down in your popcorn.
Hey, Mike, I don't want to bring up old. That's wild, bro.
Just saying.
You are wild with the visual eye. That's crazy.
Anyway. Yeah. So I actually like Jamie Foxx better this time, rewatching Spider-Man or Amazing Spider-Man 2 this time. I thought it was a little bit better. But yes, he is much more better. Cheers in No Way Home.
Okay. And let's roll into No Way Home then, if that's the case. Well, let's roll into the Tom Holland versions.
Right. So Tom Holland, we have Homecoming.
Yeah.
We have Far From Home. Mm-hmm. And then we have No Way Home. Homecoming is kind of where all the Spider-Man characters are being introduced. Because Spider-Man actually gets introduced in Captain America Civil War. So technically, you could almost count Civil War as 0.5 Spider-Man.
Yeah. Did anybody else get chills when he showed up in Civil War?
Oh, my gosh. That was awesome.
I love Civil War. That's my favorite Marvel movie, just about, is Civil War.
Civil War is great.
Yeah.
Of the Avengers style, you know.
Team Cap.
Yeah, the Kevin Feige and Amy Pascal's version of the Spider-Mans with the Tom Hollands.
But now, I like Tom Holland. I think he's a great Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
There are some aspects to his era that I'm not huge on.
Really?
Yes. I don't really color me intrigued. I don't really care for MJ that much. I mean, I like her better once we get to No Way Home.
Mm.
But like Homecoming, I can't stand her. I don't like her at all in Homecoming. She's okay. Annoying. I don't like her activism.
She's a teenager, Mike. Like in high school.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that's why I don't like her. I don't know. I just don't. I don't like her. Ned. I love Ned. Ned's fantastic.
He's a teenager too. You're talking about the guy in the chair.
But he's not the guy in the chair. The guy in the chair.
You a guy in the chair too.
I could be your guy in the chair. You know, everybody has a guy in the chair. I could be your guy in the chair.
That's Steven.
Well, right now we're all, well, not all of us guys in the chair. We also have one girl in the chair. So
okay.
Anyway.
I've been referred to as the guy in the chair because you equate him to Tito.
That's right. Megan is the guy in the chair because she does the commentary. The thing where you got to monitor the comment section.
Speaking of that, did you get rid of the spam?
Yes.
Thank you. Good.
It doesn't show up on stream.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's what she's there for. to get rid of our spam, which we haven't had a lot of, but today we just did. Anyway.
All right. Homecoming.
Homecoming.
So the characters right off the cuff, you don't really care for that iteration of MJ.
I don't care for her in Homecoming, but I do grow to like her much more better. Cheers.
Yeah, I'm going to run out of my drink, man.
Man, I'm getting caffeinated today. Holy moly.
I by the end of it, I like her a lot better. But in the beginning, I don't like her at all. I just don't. I'm like, I prefer MJ and I prefer Gwen over her.
Yeah, because they're adults at that particular point. She's a teenager, so you know her, and she has a very nonchalant type personality. I get it. But Tom Holland, he has more of the Spider-Man personality that I love, where he's trying to fit in. He's trying to find his way. He's the naive kid.
Yeah,
yes, he's the naive kid, and that's exactly what it is. And I love the progression of how he started when he was in Homecoming versus when he ended up in No Way Home, including his cut-ins for the, what's that, Civil War, I think one and two, is it one and two?
One and two of Endgame.
In Endgame, stuff like that. He still wanted to be
Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good.
He was still trying to find his place as far as like, okay, they're not really fully accepting him because he was obviously still young, still kind of learning his abilities, but he's not ready to roll with the big boys. And they keep benching him or telling him, hey, chill out. This is not your fight. This is for the adults. You are still a child. And that's the whole theme of his character. And two, when we got to No Way Home, where he didn't have any adults that basically to dictate. I mean, yeah, he had AI, but at that time he had to do his own thing to try to figure out how he's going to be able to save the day, which I think that as a character development of his story arc, it being Spider-Man was phenomenal.
Oh, I have no complaints about Tom Holland. I think Tom Holland's a phenomenal Spider-Man. Personally, I like all three. I am a fan of all three actors. I think they portray Spider-Man great. They just do it in different ways.
Yeah.
Tobey Maguire was fantastic because he was the first. Well, technically, he wasn't the first live action Spider-Man because there was like Spider-Man on Electric Company and all that stuff years ago
in '78.
Right. Yeah. But he's the first one we got a full on movie from. And I think he set the role really well there, did a great job. Then Andrew Garfield, we get the a little bit darker Spider-Man. You know, he's kind of broken and hurt and angry. And I like that side of Spider-Man, too. And then, like you said, with Tom Holland, we get the more naive teenage angst and just awkward. And so I think all three of them bring out different aspects of the character.
That was a good rundown. That was good.
As far as that, of which my favorite one is my top one is No Way Home, because it brings into the fold all three of them, just like what you just said. And you get to see all of the scenes that made them the Spider-Mans that I really do enjoy. You get to see, you know, Tobey Maguire doing his thing. You get to trying to help out Norman Osborn, trying to bring him back into the fold, trying to basically undo the damage he did to himself. You got Tobey Maguire, who saved the girl. Man, I'm telling you right now, that scene there was amazing. It vindicated a lot of their characters and what they were trying to do. And I feel like it was the best homage to all of the movies that they put out.
You're referring to when Andrew Garfield saves Andrew MJ. Garfield Spider-Man saves MJ. Not MJ, Gwen.
Oh, or, no.
No, yeah, MJ. I'm sorry.
It was MJ. Yeah,
he saves MJ, but he's basically, in his mind, he's seeing Gwen because he couldn't save Gwen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a tearjerker right there.
That one was good.
I cried at that point.
Yeah, that part. And then when they all worked, you got to see all of the Spider-Mans in their different time and in their different ways, their perks as far as how they use their scientific brains or just their genius level mindset to try to fix the villains or the rogues that they basically, that was their big bads in their movies. I think that was amazing how they did the storytelling. And like what Steven was saying, that was when they really paid homage to, like, you know, making sure that, you know, how that third act came together and it all makes sense, because it wasn't just one guy doing it. It was all of them. And that scene where they had the slow-mo where all three of them was coming in their rogue galleries, man, top tier performance right then and there. That's my all time favorite movie right there.
You know, they edited the promo for that because they didn't want you to see the Green Goblin in it.
Yeah, so I saw it.
They took the Green Goblin out of that. And I think they took,
they had Lizard in there.
They might have taken Doc Ock out of it also or something. Because they didn't want you to know all the villains that were going to show up. They saved that as a surprise. That was great marketing too. Good.
Yeah, it was great marketing. Good job.
They also hid the fact that all three were going to be in it.
Yeah, because we had no idea that all of the villains were going to show up.
All the villains, all the Spider-Mans. That was definitely a good segue into the Spider-Verse. That was a good segue into that movie, because then you had other Spider-Mans that they could actually start talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the animated movies.
It was a rumor. There was a rumor that all three Spider-Men were going to show up, but no one knew for sure. Mm-hmm. And then I just remember being in the theater, and when Andrew Garfield showed up, everybody cheered. And then Tobey Maguire showed up, and it was an even bigger cheer.
Yes, you know, they it was like, oh, where's Ned? And then all of a sudden he just walks through. Oh man, I still that's I'm gonna have to watch the movie again. I watched it last Thursday, I believe. That movie
I love right it when like they're movie. Telling Andrew Garfield when they're like, okay, prove that you're actually Spider-Man. Yeah. And he's hanging from the ceiling already. You know, he's got one arm. Right.
Yeah, because he's like the tallest one. Like,
MJ's like, now crawl around. And I'm like, really? That's not enough for you? I mean, can you stick to the ceiling like that?
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. I like that.
That was my top tier. No Way Home was my top tier. That's my favorite Spider-Man. Now moving on into the
Hold on. One more favorite moment from that movie is when they're getting ready to leave. And Andrew Garfield looks at Tobey Maguire and goes, are you actually going to suit up? Or are you just going to look like this cool youth pastor?
Yes. I thought that. And then when Tobey Maguire was talking about, he was complaining that his back hurt because obviously movies of Spider-Man, he had back surgery or whatnot because of just being on those harnesses and trying to do all those flips and everything.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it caused an issue with his back. That's why he didn't really want to continue going on with the Spider-Man trilogy and everything. Plus, after the fact, he did 3 and everybody was talking about he was doing the emo Spider-Man when he came out and he... I don't care what nobody said. That was one of my favorite scenes throughout that.
Really?
When he came out the store and he did his dance and everything. Oh my God. I still play it.
That is like one of the most scenes in history. It was
amazing. Yeah, the black suit Spider-Man. Yeah, it made him all emo and everything. He started dancing. He was cool, man. That was dope. He had some rhythm. Rhythm in him.
I disagree.
That was dope. It was nice.
He's still white Spider-Man. He can't dance.
Just trying to say white people can't dance.
That's right. God. Since we've gone through all the Spider-Man films, I thought real quick we'll run down. So Stan Lee has been known to make cameos in every Marvel MCU film.
Yeah.
He actually, I didn't realize this until I was doing some research this week, but he actually made an appearance in the original Incredible Hulk TV series with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno, actually, which I thought was fantastic. I didn't realize that. And heck, I used to watch that show when I was a kid. But I just figured we'd go down the Spider-Man appearances that he's had. We won't go through every single Stan Lee appearance, but... So the Spider-Man appearances in the first Spider-Man, Stan Lee can be seen in a scene where he and a little girl run to escape debris caused by the Green Goblin explosions. Mm-hmm. In Spider-Man 2, Stan heroically saves a fellow innocent bystander from debris as Dr. Octopus wreaks havoc in the city. Spider-Man 3, instead of dodging debris like he did in the last two Spider-Man movies, instead, he delivers a profound piece of advice to Peter Parker in the middle of Times Square, telling him, I guess one person can really make a difference. Then in The Amazing Spider-Man, and oblivious Stan Lee can be seen minding his own business. I think this is one of his best cameos, by the way.
I love that one.
Minding his own business. Yes.
He's in the library, the librarian.
Yep. Right. And he's got headphones on and they're tearing up the entire library and he's oblivious to it.
Yeah.
He's just bopping along to music.
Yeah. Oh, it's probably my top Stan Lee cameo of all time. I think it was great. Then in Amazing Spider-Man 2, Stan seems to be the only person who notices Peter Parker quickly change out of his Spidey outfit and into his cap and gown. He's going, hey, I think I know that guy. Then Spider-Man Homecoming, as a nod to that same cameo in the Andrew Garfield one, he appears as a neighbor who spots Spider-Man and exclaims, I think I know that guy. It was almost the same cameo repeated. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then so I also got
a quote from Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who continue the tradition and work Stan Lee into the mesmerizing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. The short answer is no. But when Phil Lord and Chris Miller appeared on Cinema Blend Reel to talk about the Across the Spider-Verse, Lord elaborated on why they decided to leave Stan out of the movie, explaining, "We made a choice that it felt a bit macabre and exploitive to put someone in a movie when they could no longer offer permission. So that was just our choice. Every once in a while, we second guessed it just because we suspected that he would have been delighted. But in any case, he is all over the movie anyway." So that was just some comments that Phil Lord and Chris Miller made about the fact that they didn't have him in Across the Spider-Verse. But in the first Miles Morales one, he does make an appearance in that. And that's when Miles Morales shows up at the little shop, which is Stan's shop, and he buys the toy Spider-Man costume, like the Halloween costume.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. right.
And he asks him, "Can I return it if it fits?" And he goes, "Oh, it always fits." they always fit. And then he points to the sign. The sign says, "No refunds."
Yeah.
No returns, no refunds.
So we got the live action ones out of the way as far as that. Now, did you want to talk about the Into the Spider-Verse or those are the animated movies? We already had a podcast
sure,
on those.
Sure, we could go into that a little bit.
I think we're right over the hour. Yeah, I was thinking, we talked about the live action ones, but the Into the Spider-Verse is the animated movies. I guess we can reserve those for our animated movies of what we want to.
If we want to revisit, Spider-Man animated,
because they are talking about making a third animated movie for Into the Spider-Verse. I want to kind of reserve, some talking points.
Okay.
Sounds good. Well, I think we covered the live actions pretty well. I do have a question for everyone. What is, if you have to pick a favorite live action Spider-Man, what is your favorite live action Spider-Man? And I'll start with Steven.
Spider-Man 3. I'm just kidding. I'm getting him riled up. Sorry. No Way Home is my favorite. That's
No Way Home. Are you talking movie or Spider-Man?
I'm talking live action Spider-Man movies. So Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland.
Oh, between the three. I thought you said movie. Sorry, my bad.
No, I said movie. Yeah, I said, but I'm saying.
Which one?
All the movies, spanning all eight of the movies. Which is your favorite?
No Way Home.
No Way Home. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It almost culminated all of the stories together, kind of thing. And so I really enjoyed them.
Yeah. I would say the same thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Megan.
Oh, Megan?
I also, No Way Home.
No Way Home. All right.
And if it's any consolation, if I was going to pick a favorite Spider-Man actor, it would probably be Tom.
Okay. All right. Darren.
Yeah. I'm going to say nope. My favorite one is No Way Home.
No Way Home.
I said it and I meant to save it for this part, but I ended up saying it because we started talking about it and I got really passionate about it because that was one of my favorite ones. I think I watched that thing 20 times, but yeah, No Way Home is definitely my favorite.
For me, it's a little difficult to pick a favorite, but I kind of bounce between Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock and No Way Home because I absolutely love the portrayal of Doc Ock. And then when he comes back in No Way Home, so good.
Because I was thinking, I was literally thinking the same thing. I was like, do I want to go to?
But then Green Goblin's reappearance is just so, they did such a good job at reintroducing all of those villains and just making them so good. Homecoming is fantastic. It's a great movie. And I agree with you, Steven. It just brings them all together. It's so well done.
It is a very, very good kind of it would be a good outline movie to use for any collaborations of different versions.
Oh, that one and
if you will.
It may have opened the door for Spider-Man 4 with Tobey Maguire, Amazing Spider-Man 3 with Andrew Garfield. There's talk that we may actually get those movies, and I am looking so forward to getting both of them if that happens.
Plans for the third Andrew Garfield supposed to be the Sinister Six?
Well, it looked like they were pointing to that in Amazing Spider-Man 2, because you can see the lab in Oscorp, and you actually see the octopus, the tentacles, you see the vulture's wing. We didn't even talk about Michael Keaton, by the way.
Mitchell, his name. He played great.
He's so good. He is so good. And then when he figures out who Spider-Man is,
yeah, you're right.
I love it. And he's dating his daughter.
The third film was supposed to be about Amazing Spider-Man and Sinister Six. That's true.
It would have been cool. I would have loved to seen that. I don't think they're going to go that direction anymore. If they do Amazing Spider-Man 3, I think they're going to pull it into Venom is what we may get, because they've already led to Venom getting pulled into one of these films. We may see a Venom in Tom Holland's. I think we have to, because you see a part of the black, the symbiote is still there. So at the end of both movies, you had an appearance of Tom Hardy as Venom and Eddie Brock, and he's sitting in the Mexican bar, and when he gets flipped out of there or whatever, a piece of the symbiote is on the bar still. And I think that's going to lead to Tom Holland getting the symbiote suit in Secret Wars is what I think they're heading towards. Secret Wars is coming up.
Yeah. And
if you have the symbiote going to Tom Holland, you know, eventually Tom Holland gets a Venom. So we eventually will get a Venom in the Tom Holland series.
Mm.
Oh, speaking of that, there was an April Fool's thing that came across Facebook that almost got me, saying that they had fired Tom Holland and that they were going to bring in the girl from Madam Web instead of Tom Holland to play Spider.
Get the heck out of here, man. Oh my goodness. No.
Madam Web? Like, what? What?
What's you... Madam Web?
Yeah, Spider-Man. That's what everyone else is saying.
Right.
Nobody went and seen that movie.
Oh my goodness.
No one went. We're getting all the 8 Spider-Man films back in the movie theaters, because Madam Web did so badly.
Oof.
Sony said, oh crap, we got to do something to recap all our money. Hey, wait a minute. We'll just put all these back in the theater.
I feel like they also pulled a Disney move with that movie.
What do you mean?
They didn't market it.
Well,
yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere. And then I didn't see anything that was gravitating me to go see it.
Leading up to it.
Yeah. They did a better job with like the Marvels.
That's for another day.
Okay. All right, so one last question. Favorite Spider-Man suit?
Oh, Andrew Garfield for me.
Andrew Garfield, okay.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Over Tom Holland.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really have a favorite. I don't think I've ever really thought about it, which was my favorite. It's just a Spider-Man suit.
Yeah, like all of them have their unique designs to it. Yeah, yep, Tom Holland has a... Yeah, I didn't really. I don't.
Tom has a couple of different ones.
He does. The Iron Spider one's my favorite.
I love the Iron Spider.
The Iron Spider is pretty cool.
Andrew and the Iron Spider. Because I love how he has the spider legs.
Oh, yeah. Spider. And I love it when he shows up, when Doc Ock shows up, and then he puts out the spider legs, and Doc Ock goes, oh, we got some competition.
Oh yeah. That, and then he's salvating. Iron Spider suit is more nanotechnology so he can take right. over Doc yeah. Ock. He's like, I thought that was amazing.
That was
I great. Was like, that
was amazing. Good one. Cheers to that.
Yes, yes, yes. It was amazing. Yeah,
that's also a reason why I like the Iron Spider suit, because it kind of reminds me of Big Hero 6 with the nanotechnology.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite is either the Tobey Maguire one or the Tom Holland at the very end of No Way Home when he makes his own suit. And it looks a lot more like just classic comic book Spider-Man. Yeah. You know, the really bright blue and red and mm-hmm. just, oh man, I love that. I love that look. It's a great look. Yeah. And I love the tech, but I prefer Spider-Man. I prefer my Spider-Man to be a little more low tech than that. And I know the
besides
tech,
his web shooters.
Right. Besides his web shooters. Actually, I prefer my Spider-Man and have web shooters than Tobey Maguire's, you know, although it made for a great scene. Yeah. It made for a fantastic scene in No Way Home.
I always like when they say, can you shoot him from your butt? He was just like, right. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, it's always been everyone's questions.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to take a step back. I'm probably going to this is going to sound silly, but I'm going to retract it. And I'm doing this because, you know, views and listeners. I'm going to go with one of my favorite ones was the very first Spider-Man, his one when he was in the ring. With Randy Savage, boom! That's my favorite one because he had the goggles. It was all he had a hoodie. It was the colors, even though, and it was just like it was thrown together. If I was going to be a crime fighter, a vigilante, or just basically going out there, my stuff would look like that. That's the first thing I would grab: a hoodie, a mask with a goggles, something. I'm not going to get spandex. I got money for that. So, it's awesome.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, that's all I have for our amazing Spider-Man episode.
Gotcha.
And I do believe this was an amazing episode. Really enjoyed going back through all the Spider-Man films. It's a fun little trip down memory lane. And I love each one of the actors who've portrayed him. I think they've all done a fantastic job as Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yes, yep. Yes.
Agreed. All right, everybody. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. Make sure you check us out at www.twogeeksmic.com. That's the number 2GEEKSMIC.com, where you'll find all things Two Geeks. Also, if you would, from there, you can actually go to our Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/2Geeks. There you can help support us. We have a $1 tier, $2 tier, and $3 tier, and that just helps us pay for the stuff to do the show. We really appreciate your help. Or you can even check out our merchandise at www.twogeeksmicmerch.com, which we're looking at getting some other new shirts in, which I'm pretty excited about. And if you want to reach out to us, the best way to do so is through our email at show@twogeeksmic.com. Mike does a great job of keeping tabs on that email because I know if I email it, he emails me right back.
I'm more apt to answer that email than I am my own personally.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So anyway, so that's the dealioso, everybody. Anything else?
If you've made it this far, please make sure and go and like and subscribe both on Facebook and on YouTube. Facebook, I try to post a lot of memes, some funny stuff, and share any information about upcoming episodes of the show. Make sure and give us give the little bell a tickle and subscribe on YouTube so you get notified every time we go live. And speaking of going live, we go live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. You do the math because I don't like math. And we are also live on Facebook, Twitch, and X, by the way. All of those platforms were there. What, Megan?
Twitter.
It's not Twitter anymore. It's X.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, okay. Anyway. Make sure and follow us on any one of those platforms and you will get notified of when we go live. And I think that's all I got. Anyone else got any closing remarks? other than how much we all love the Spider-Man films. Yay. Okay. With that said, over and out. And remember, with great
power
comes great responsibility. Come on, man. Come on.
See ya.
Hey, we get your own tagline right.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Unless you're Darth Vader.
Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the Force be with you.